I'm single and tired of it. And so I'm now trying to figure out what kind of person I want to settle down with. And I thought I'd share what I found out with the listeners and ask questions of the other guests.
Hi, I'm Rose, and I'm a librarian right now, and I'm in a relationship currently, and I've had many past relationships, and I guess I'm trying to figure out whether I want to stay in this relationship and what I want from this relationship.
My name is Peter, and I'm basically trying to figure out whether I want to go leave the studio and go up to the coffee shop where I saw the cute blonde chick waving at me through the window, and whether that would be time better spent.
Really? Someone waved at you.
Yeah,
Oh, this is a
I mean,
figment
actually,
of his
no, she
imagination.
did. She really waved at me.
She wasn't just batting away hot coffee that had spilled
This was definitely a wave. It might have been a wave at the nice person while we call the police on the other line. But
I think she was probably just telling you, don't walk on the grass. Stay on the
that could
sidewalk.
have been.
Did you look around to see if there was someone behind you?
Only her.
Yeah, it would have been me.
We're very supportive.
Hey, she could have been waving at me. I'm a really cute girl.
Interesting. My name is John. I'm staff at CMU, and I've undertaken a project as part of my New Year's resolutions to change my life in every possible way. So I'm here to discuss what I'm looking for the girl that I will find in California when I'm the hell away from this place.
My name is Jim, and I've done a bunch of soul searching recently, and I've done a lot of thinking about what I want in a relationship.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. My name's Carrie. Gosh, no real relationships whatsoever to speak of. Single female, 29. And, pretty
And
much it. It's kind of sad, but there you have it.
She'll take all calls.
Yeah, I just need the vital
I would
statistics,
like to
and I
state for the
will
record
rate
that
you.
Carrie is all that.
Oh,
You are all that, I
oh,
think.
how sweet.
I'll take the calls you don't want, Carrie.
Okay, deal.
Good evening. I'm Luke. I've just celebrated my 2-year anniversary with my current SO, and I'm here and here every week because I feel that it's really important for improving the sexual state of the world to have people who are willing to talk about candidly about their own sexual experiences and desires and feelings. And I feel that I promote that by being here.
So really, it's not for yourself. It's more of a humanitarian issue.
Society.
That's a big part of it. It's a, certainly. I also find it fascinating to hear such things myself.
Well, I mean, and let's give credit to work. I mean, you were still in your crib when I was doing the show. So, I mean, in terms of trailblazers, that's
pretty much whenever I'm in any given sexual situation, I stop before doing whatever it is I'm going to do, and I ask, what would DJ 2000 do in this situation?
I think it's unfortunately usually ask that out loud.
And the answer is usually run screaming from the room. And the most important person of all in the studio is you, the listener. Of course, you're not actually in the studio, but we want you to call in and share your thoughts and ideas. The phone lines are always open. 621-WRCT is the phone number. 268-WRCT is the alternate phone number. And if you don't have letters on your phone, 621-9728.
And please call.
Yeah, because we have nothing really to talk about.
Oh, stop.
That's not true. Yeah, I think
well,
we have a
we
lot to
have
talk
lots
about.
I thought
we were
to talk
discussing
about.
Relationships.
Again, for me, I have nothing really to talk about.
Well,
I'm
we might
just here to
get
be.
into just why, maybe, given that you are so fabulous, I mean, it seems like the key problem might be no one's good enough for you.
Well, I have found that to be true, but
okay,
interesting.
well, also, I mean, I have to say that I know a little bit about you, and I know that when you say I don't have any relationships or I haven't had any relationships, I know you're wrong. But at the same time,
Okay, I
also
haven't
fully
had any
believe.
sexual relationships of any lasting
See, but I believe that you believe that you really believe that when you say that. But you're just so wrong. So
what, Wait, you believe what?
My question is, what do you mean when you say relationship? Or what is a relationship?
Okay. More than one night of sex.
See, for me, it's more than 5 minutes of sex.
Okay, well, actually, I've had more than 5 minutes of sex at a time, which I appreciate from all of those people I've had sex with in the past. Thank you very much. But no, I've not had any lasting relationships, with the exception of one. It was fairly short term, about a month.
As a stab in the dark, I would say the relationship is where you've stopped counting how many times.
Right. So, again, I have had probably one relationship, and it was, I mean, you know, it was nice enough, but it was not anything serious. And it lasted about a month. So I feel somewhat lacking in ability to talk about relationships, as I haven't really experienced any significance.
Well, I mean, I think anytime you talk about relationships, I mean, everything is also partially defined by its absence, right? And so in order to define a relationship, we have to also talk about what a relationship is not.
Oh, good. I'm glad I'm here to be that example.
This is a fine thing to be talking about the week after that holiday where many people are obsessing over having a relationship.
Yes, the evil holiday.
Whose name will not be spoken in the studio.
The vile, foul holiday.
Among many people.
No damn chocolate, no damn flowers.
Yeah. I'd settle for a little damned sex.
That would have been nice, too, but, you know, it was Sunday, and well, Sunday's my day to sleep. So that would have interfered.
Well, and on the seventh day.
I mean, along these lines, I believe Jeff has done a little research among his friends and among the internet. I don't know where you got this list, but you've actually compiled a list of canonical things every relationship must have. Am I understanding that correctly? Or things people look for in a relationship? Or what top 10 list?
Yeah. Well, I started with a dating book. See, not having had any really long relationships myself, I thought I would just ask people who did have lots of long relationships what it is that helps make them tick. And
they lie like bastards.
that too. Well, it helped me to get that they told me that many of them don't have much of a clue themselves either.
Interesting.
So what I'm thinking is what kind of a person do I want to hook up with? For me, there has to be some kind of spark there, you know, some kind of romantic something, but not this head over heels nonsense that you learn from Disney, because I think that really gets in the way of real life.
Yeah. Can you elaborate on that?
You've lost me.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, we need to know what you mean by spark, and second, I think every relationship starts with a powerful desire to be with the other person.
Well, it depends on the person's motives.
Interesting. Well, okay, that sounds like we can amplify on this point quite a bit. So,
well, I'm just saying that I grew up with this notion that you would, there'd be this earth-shattering love that would just come down to you like it's almost coming from heaven, and you'd be swept off your feet and happy forever.
That would be the cocaine.
Something like that. And yeah, I mean, when you're new in a relationship, and I've had this, you know, you have this infatuation, you get all excited, but you know, to expect that's so nebulous. You can't base a marriage on that. You know, you can have that with someone you hate.
So I'll go out on a limb here, and I'll say that one expects any relationship to have both passion and, frankly, lust. And almost what you look at is what comes beyond that when you get into that steady state where it's Saturday afternoon and you've already had sex 12 times that day and you've told each other you love one another.
I want a relationship with you, Jim.
Well, I'll need more electrolytes. But what, you know, what do you do then? And if you have nothing to talk about or nothing to do together or no way to relate, then what you don't have is a lasting relationship.
Right.
I also I want to just probe a little bit, if you'll pardon the expression.
Excuse me.
You use the word marriage, or you talked about marriage a little bit. And something I see in friends who are looking for relationships, or I've kind of caught myself doing this at times, is kind of like, viewing the end more than the journey, right? So I know people who've been like, well, I want to get married, rather than, well, gee, I want to marry this person. And that kind of has always struck me as problematic. Is that, I mean, could you explain to me maybe a counter position to that? Or am I misunderstanding you?
Yeah, I will. And I think Rose should have her say as well after that. I'm thinking that a person that I could stand to live with for a long period of time would have to be someone that at least some of my friends like, because if all of my friends hate him, he's probably wrong for me. I'm gay, by the way. Has to have some kind of profession or pursuit, something that interests them in their life outside of the relationship, or they'll drive me nuts. They have to be someone who's willing to live in a place that I can stand emotionally or professionally. You know, I am not going to go to Weehawken, New Jersey with the love of my life, you know, because...
What if your love of your life is in Weehawken saying, I'm not going to Pittsburgh?
Well, then...
Fairly likely scenario.
Yeah. Then it probably won't work. And maybe that would be something I'd give up. You know, you can't get 100% of your ideal mate, obviously.
I see. And I'm just getting this reaction from this list. I think if you met the right person, mm-hmm. you would just be like, yeah, I'm tossing my little Casio pilot out the window, and I'm going to follow this guy to, like, the East River, where, you know, whatever trashy part of New Jersey he lives in.
I don't know about that. There's some characteristics that you just look for in people. I mean, for me, I have to have a really smart man. He has to be extremely smart, or I'm just totally bored with him after a few weeks. I mean, he has to hold my interest. He has to hold my intellectual interest as well as sexual interest.
Interesting.
And the point on compatibility with friends is, mm-hmm. at least for me, a telling point. When I got into my current relationship, my previous the girlfriend had not gotten along well with my friends, and when I was getting into my current relationship, I thought very clearly that if she couldn't fit well with my friends, that I was going to be smart enough to pass on her instead of on my friends.
It's not so much that I wouldn't be willing to tell all my friends to bug off if, you know, I met someone I like and they didn't. It's just that I have a very wide range of types of people that I'm friend with, and if none of them like this person, or if they hate them all my friends, there's something wrong. You know,
this is what's making me uncomfortable a little bit about this conversation. And part of this is simply we're talking about relationships, and so you're talking about in the abstract, and this is going to happen to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily draw the line between a friend and someone I'm sleeping with and someone I'm dating or someone I'm in a long-term relationship. I mean, these to me are lines along a continuum. And so if you meet someone and you're not their friend, but you're sleeping together and you're married, there's a bigger problem here than your friends don't like them. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, am I alone in thinking that? Or
I've actually had a great difficulty with that. I'm really... the characteristic that I'm looking for is someone that could be both friend and sexual partner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very difficult thing to put together.
Mm-hmm. But it's also very important if you want the relationship
perhaps,
to last.
Perhaps it's simply the case that I have very high standards for friend rather than sexual partner. I haven't really put that together. But I'm just saying it's a single continuum is also simplifying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think to have a successful relationship, you do need to be friends with your partner, but I think that the romantic or mate relationship is something different. It's along a different line than just friendship.
Yeah, the way that I will begin a romantic relationship and approach a relationship that I think might be romantic or sexual is different from the way I'll begin a relationship that I'm expecting to be
friendly with no questions of sex.
See, that's something I don't do. Maybe, and I certainly used to do that, but maybe I'm suffering because of it. You know, maybe I'm foreclosing opportunities because of it. But I mean, I found that basically, you know, I can sleep with someone, and if I can't stand them the next morning, you know, if this is not someone I can be a friend with, then I feel like it was worse than spending the night alone and just, you know, jerking off.
Oh, I agree with that.
From my perspective.
And I would be
unclean in some ways.
That was nice. Could you please leave?
Yeah, just the classic description. I mean, dirty is the word most people use to describe that sort of experience. You feel dirty the next morning.
Well, you've compromised yourself.
Yeah, right. There should never be a time, no matter whether it's a one-night stand or whatever, there should never be a time where you go, wow, I'm really ashamed that I even slept with this person. That's a bad sexual experience.
You know, I've done it after masturbation. It really
Well, you know, it is you.
I'm glad I can say I've never had that kind of experience.
What?
Feeling bad about being with someone that night before. I don't know.
I have indeed. Well, excuse me, I have. I've had sex that was so bad it depressed me for 3 days.
Was it the sex that was bad, that sex was great, but I can't believe I just did that with this person?
It was the sex.
I'd actually like to.
I'd like to hear more about this.
It's like to turn the detail knob way up on this little story, and let's just zoom in. This sounds.
Okay, well...
No names, please.
Charlie never got his name.
This person is on another part of the country. I have no idea where he is. Okay, I have had, to put this in context, I've had quite a number of either one-night stands or people that I've had sex with that I knew I would not have a relationship with. But I did it for fun and felt fine about it afterward. There were some people that I'd slept with where the sex just wasn't good, and I thought, you know, that was a waste of time. With this guy, he was so fundamentally depressed. I mean, there was such a pit of despair, you know, in his soul, that having, you know, after we had had sex, I just... I was so intimate with a person that was so negative that...
I want more detail.
Sorry, more detail. George, more detail.
Sorry, come out in a pit of despair. It just sounds like another euphemism.
Well, come out and admit it. It was me, wasn't it?
I mean, was he calling you ugly between thrusts? What was happening? I want to know.
The thrust,
I mean,
yeah.
Let's see. That's not the point.
Did you feel more like you were being a therapist than a lover? That really is the definition of bad sex.
Ooh, that would be bad. It wasn't quite that. The guy had been into, you know, had a completely depressing life, was been into prostitution himself, had nowhere to go, blah, 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 blah. And so while we were, you know, in the lead up, you know, we were catching up on old times. We actually knew each other when we were kids and had not had sex then. And so, you know, he told me about his life. I told him about my life. And then, you know, I mean, the sex was fairly, I'm not going to tell you precisely who did what to whom, but, you know, he just didn't do a whole lot. It's like he had no energy. It's like he was.
So he kind of like laid there and let you do all the work, basically.
He didn't lay there, but I was certainly doing all the work. It was like he was made of some cold material that no amount of passion could warm.
Was he able to perform? I mean,
yeah. Okay. You know,
so there was wood. I mean,
yeah, there was wood.
No, because I mean, that's the first thing I thought when you said this guy was depressed and it just wasn't good. I mean, that's the first thing I'm thinking, right?
No, it was not for lack of a weenie. I mean, that's nothing special.
So true.
Well, you asked for the details, Corey.
I mean, that's also sort of characteristic of someone who's just very selfish, right? Just laying back and letting you service them.
I would actually disagree with that. That can be a very positive experience for both people, as long as that's part of a sharing. It doesn't have to be something that's necessarily verbally agreed upon in advance, but it has to be something that's in some way consented to, just like anything else in good sex.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I think anybody that's let themselves be used in prostitution has some really deep, deep problems.
That's a very interesting statement. So I will say that I have stripped professionally, which is not the same thing as prostitution, but I did not feel that I was necessarily being used.
Yes, but you weren't being violated, and it's a form of violation.
So at a point where one is being groped while naked, one feels rather violated, I can say. And that was sort of the most strange part of the experience, is actually being groped and in a position where one simply expects in advance not to enjoy it. But
wow.
So, I mean, certainly as someone who grew up under the sort of pretty woman ethos, I mean, I'm fully compatible with the idea that a prostitute can be, you know,
a hooker with a heart of gold.
Exactly, you know, it's a way of making a living, a very objectivist kind of lifestyle.
Wow.
But, you know, you would appear to strongly agree with that.
I disagree, because most of the prostitutes out there are on drugs or alcohol, and they're very unhappy, they're very unstable, they've come from abusive relationships, home relationships, abusive parents, abusive step-parents. It's just...
Have you worked with them? I mean, is there... a story here?
Well, I have a degree in anthropology and psychology.
All right.
Okay, and I had some interest in it and did some research on it.
Just talking to the microphone, that's all.
Of course, that's not every case out there, but
you're saying
the
vast majority.
I would stress as a point is when you say most, I would probably agree with that, but if you generalize most to all, I would strenuously disagree.
So it seems like
what I would recommend, really, it's a very interesting book. It's a book called Sex Work, and I'm afraid I do not remember the name of the editor.
Some people
in the studio possibly read it. It's a collection of essays by professional sex workers, most or all of them female. Some of them masseuses who perform, shall we say, extra services. Some of them just out-and-out prostitutes. And they talk about different aspects of the experience. Some of them talk about it as being very degrading, whereas some of them talk about it as being a very positive, very empowering experience, where they say they are using their sexuality, they are using their gender identity as a way of defining themselves. And it's very interesting because there's a very eloquent defense of legalized prostitution by a female prostitute in Nevada who argues that it is the ultimate in feminist movement and in self-empowerment, in that the utilization of sex itself as a profession, as long as that's considered degrading, is a way of saying that there are things that a woman can do that must not be considered valid. And as long as that manner of thought continues, that the feminist movement is crippling itself. Sort of the antithesis is the Andrea Dworkin crowd.
So the phone numbers here are 621-9728 or 268-9728. I want to try and take a moment to kind of redirect us back onto the relationship course, although if we end up back on prostitution, I'll take that as just kind of a general vote that's what we really want to talk about.
I'd like to devote an entire future show to Jim's stripping career, too.
I would be fascinated a lot about that.
But that'll have to...
Too bad this is radio.
So I wanna talk to you a little bit, Carrie, and find out what is it you think that prevents you from? Is it simply not meeting people, or is it simply not? Because I mean, we have some outside of the studio context. So I've been at parties where I've seen people saying, "Wow, that Carrie, you know, she's really hot," blah blah blah.
Uh-huh.
So obviously something's going on here.
I have no idea. I'm sorry, I don't have a ready excuse at hand. It just thus far has not happened,
right?
Which is kind of stupid, I suppose. You know, if I were truly interested or dedicated to getting a relationship, perhaps I would make it happen. But
so, I mean, are you?
I'd like to back up.
Are you interested?
Excuse that there.
So
it doesn't seem to me to be a thing that needs to be excused.
I'm not attacking you. Yeah.
I don't feel attacked. Not at all. I just. I guess it feels weird. Most women that I am friends with of my age range have had, if not several, serious relationships, at least one or two serious relationships, and I haven't, which I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm kind of concerned about, because
you feel left out.
Well, it's not even so much that. I think there's something wrong with me sometimes. How weird.
Don't feel that way. You know what? Some of the most satisfying times in my life have been when I have been alone.
Well, I like being single. I'm not against that. I mean, I've had a lot of fun. But, you know, dating somebody would have been nice at some point.
Yeah, well, companionship is nice.
Well, you know, it has its upside, I've heard.
And it has its downside, too.
Even if single is your preferred state of being, you somehow miss out on a shared experience if you can't relate to everything.
Plus, really being able to exclude your friends who aren't dating, I think, is really a big benefit.
Well, and thank you, because that brings about, I guess, a fact, and I guess in some ways that may have contributed to the fact that I'm not dating somebody right now. Most of my friends are in long-term monogamous relationships, so they're already coupled off. And most of their friends that I have met are coupled off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It becomes this thing where I would say 90% of the people I am close friends with are already in relationships. Their friends are in relationships, the people I meet through them. So it's not as if I'm out there in that big single scene that I used to be, say, back in college, when, you know, I thought, oh, I'm young, I can be fun and not really tie myself down to anybody.
But you choose, I mean, there is a single scene for people your age.
Oh, certainly.
And you choose, you're making a conscious choice to not go to, say, Chauncey's or Don's.
Okay, well,
or
I find
like
that foul, but
yeah. I agree.
You know, it makes skin crawls when I'm at those places.
Well, there are many flavors of the single scene, certainly. And I think to say that any of them would be for all people is ridiculous. But at a certain point, it simply becomes hard. I mean, again, we're coming off the holiday, which apparently we cannot name. but really, at a certain point, every Saturday night seems like that holiday.
It's
when you're
true.
Sitting in some public place, you know, be it a bar or a club or a concert hall or anything like that, and it seems like everyone else there is part of a couple and you're not. At a certain point, you simply say, I don't care. I wish I had that companionship. Mm-hmm. And this is not anything to do with any kind of sexual component.
No, it's really not. I mean, if I know I'm not perhaps a beautiful person, but I'm not unattractive either. I know that I could go out.
Callers, she is all that.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I love getting flattery. It's great. But I'm reasonably sure I could go out to any bar and get picked up and get laid. Right. So it's not so much the sex factor as it is, yes, the companionship and being part of a couple. And so in that way, I kind of see you were saying before about, oh, you're looking to get married and you're not necessarily concerned about, I'm going to marry this person. I kind of understand that to a point, because I am somewhat kind of geared towards being in a relationship. And no, I have not said, oh, I want to be in a relationship with X, with this person, because I haven't met that person yet. But yeah, that's my goal.
And the purest expression of this desire, I mean, you see, there are mail order brides and presumably mail order husbands as well. I mean, and I'm being very serious, right? There are people out there, because there's a market for it. It's being sold, which means there's someone buying it for, you know, here's a description of some woman, you know, or some man. Fill out the form, send it away, and your husband arrives the next week from the Philippines. I mean, that's, or wife. I mean, so there are people who reach a point where they just want that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that point interests me a lot.
I would have to say that all the females on the mailing list that I'm on are falling behind in their duties, because I've not heard of the mail order husband.
Okay, I was trying to say that.
And I mean, I don't know. I have to just make a technical quibble with your point. I think the mail order brides brought over from the Philippines, there's a separate kind of dynamic at work there, I think.
Well, there's certainly a financial dynamic on at least the part of the mail order brides.
Yes.
But somewhere there's, and kind of my stereotype is like, you know, some lonely fat guy in the middle of Kansas who's like 45, who says, you know, damn it, that's it, I got to be married next week. And he fills out the form.
I'm not quite sure that that's the dynamic. I worry at least that the dynamic may be the looking for the a human sex doll.
Okay, I hadn't.
Well, that's fun
true.
Too.
I hadn't considered that.
Well, that would be a very interesting study, is to understand who is purchasing mail order brides and mail order husbands. Because frankly, I don't have a good intuition, because you know, part of me wants to say that people who look for, say, trophy wives, this is ideal for them. They can look in the catalog and they can just scan down the specs and they can find somebody who's just literally available for purchase.
Well, that's basically what you do at the bar scene. Yeah,
pretty much.
Pretty much.
Everyone
yes
thinks
and
about meeting
yes and no.
The bar
I would
scene.
I would say that is the trophy one night stand, which is an entirely different thing, and that the one night stand is predicated as the sort of relationship that everyone believes is shallow and superficial, where a marriage is, or a long term relationship is the sort of thing that many people at least fundamentally believe should have some sort of deeper component to
people
it.
People have entire lists of criteria
component.
On their Palm Pilots,
there
for
you
example.
Go. There you
exactly.
Go.
So, Rosa was going to jump in with some.
I noticed that everyone refers to the bar scene. I really don't think that the bar scene is an appropriate place to meet your perfect mate. I think the appropriate place is something where you have a common interest, such as art class or some kind of, you know, some kind of common interest, whether it's creative anachronism or, you know, some.
I don't mean to shout you down on this or anything, but there's a hidden assumption there, which is that the bar scene is not and cannot be a common interest. So I will say the relationship,
darts and pool and
the relationship that I am in and have been in for a year and a half, I met in a bar. As it so happens, this is a bar with live music, and both of us were friends with various musicians in the band, we met there, and the common interest was definitely the music and dancing.
And that's good. Music and dancing is good, but people that go to the bar every weekend to meet people are basically there to pick somebody up for sex.
But I think that's
understood. There's a difference there, though, between the people who go to the bars to meet people for sex and the people who go to the bars to meet people. There are bars, you know, the classic neighborhood bar is a group, has a group or groups of basically cliques of patrons who go there regularly, and they know that they can walk in with the generic expectation that people they know are there. They don't need to make arrangements. You know, some people don't go to the bars because fundamentally they feel, oh, I'll be sitting there alone. I got to pick up the phone, call a dozen of my friends, get them to come. Where there are also groups where they say, gee, I have two dozen friends who regularly patronize this bar. If I go in there after work, odds are that at least two or three of them will be there. There are people I can hang out with. I would certainly say that as somebody who is part of a bar crowd.
I would say, though, you're meeting your friends, and that's a different situation.
So is it harder to go from a sexual relationship, and I'm using that in the narrow sense, you know, say a one-night stand or something, is it harder to go from a sexual basis to a long-term relationship? Or is it harder to go from, you know, okay, well, we're getting kind of closer to each other and we're friends and you know, after a certain point we have sex and now we're in a long-term relationship? Which direction is harder? Because I've had long-term relationships that evolved from both of those. I hear people commonly say, well, you can't just go home with someone and expect to have a long-term relationship. But you know what? Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay, but the nice thing about that is you don't expect it, but then sometimes it happens.
Yes.
And that's kind of nice. Whereas if you're with a friend and you're slowly kind of moving towards that moment, that big deal thing, and then it doesn't happen, or it happens and it's awkward, and it ruins a lot. So people tend to shy away from that, and you end up not being with that person.
Mm-hmm. But there's another option. There's courtship. You know, I mean, and I don't mean like you have to send roses or anything, although you could.
Well, you could, or I understand the concept.
Yeah.
I've never experienced it, but I understand it.
I mean, in my experience, you know, whenever there's sex on the first date, you know, it scares the guy away. You know,
he doesn't. Oh, yeah, I run.
Maybe, you know, maybe I'm just terrible in bed or something, but I think it's that the guys think that if you have sex twice, it means you're having a relationship and you have to get married. Oh. That scares the hell out of them.
I would also like to...
people like
I'm
that.
I'm not going to kiss on the first date anymore, unless I know I'm not going to want them long term.
I'd also like to invite any callers who would like to court either Jeff or Carrie, who, as previously stated, are all that. You can reach us at 621-WRCT.
I have two comments I'd like to make. I would say that most contacts don't turn into long-term romantic relationships, i.e. most one-night stands don't work out as long-term relationships. Most friendships don't turn into long-term romantic relationships. This is basically okay.
Or we'd be a lot more tired.
My second point is that Carrie some time ago referred to the feeling that she knows how to go to a bar, get picked up, get laid, and I don't know how to do that. Tell me how, please.
Oh, gee, okay. I am on the
or
spot.
Or anyone, not just Carrie.
I hear it's easier for a woman than it is for a man.
Well, okay, there is a certain expectation that it's easier. I don't know that that's necessarily true.
We're talking here for straight pairings, I think.
Well,
I'm not sure that's necessarily a caveat that applies.
I think that there's just sort of an attitude that you adopt when you walk into the bar. You are looking to hook up with somebody sexually. And I think that that comes across, and there will be somebody to pick up on that. It doesn't matter what gender you are or what orientation you are. If you come into a bar with that sort of attitude and you are not necessarily holding the highest standards to the bar crowd, you're going to get laid that night.
My technique when I did that sort of thing would be just stay till closing time and you'll go home with whoever's left.
Yeah, whoever hasn't hooked up
quite
as of
true.
Yet.
No,
I'm not making
if your
true.
Sole goal is to... But it's sorry. True. If your sole goal is to not go home unaccompanied, as it were, there is no reason that anyone cannot fulfill that goal.
I agree.
It turns out to be the case that most people, even though they may describe themselves as totally desperate, quote unquote, are not so totally desperate as to have a standard of zero. That standard may be exceedingly low, but you'd be surprised at that closing time how many people there are in that room who do not need it.
After you've had several drinks, your perception is altered.
Again,
when it's
again,
no, I would say
when you have
three
four
in the morning,
when you have
still
four
alone.
Or five whiskeys in it, and you're looking around the room, and you can identify a dozen people in the room, and each of them you think, I'm totally desperate, and yet I do not want to be with that person, then you are still setting standards.
It's true.
Can you go into more detail here? You just wait till the end. Closing time.
Look,
file out
closing time in Pittsburgh is what, 2 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay, stay home, watch a movie at 1:45. Pick your local bar, and I'm not making a joke. And just go in and stay.
There will be somebody
I have to report a creepy experience in that one place where I lived. There was a bar around the corner, and for whatever reason, I never usually went there. And so I would end up going there when I was lonely, or sad, or for whatever reason did not feel like getting out of the house very much because I lived in a more remote neighborhood in the city. And whenever I went there, I encountered the experience that not only was I presented near closing time with a variety of pickup lines, but that despite the fact that there was a variety, there was a particular line which was used more than half the time, which was to specifically identify that other person as not part of the meat market crowd. They wanted to make it clear that they were not normally there to get laid, that this was an exception. And I'm not sure what that was intended to imply, because frankly, if I was looking for a one-night stand, I'd be looking for a little experience, a little expertise.
That's what I'm saying. So how did this? What was this line exactly?
The specific line. So I'll identify the bar in question as Ryan's Pub.
Oh my.
And the particular pickup line was, gee, do you come here a lot? I come here all the time because Murphy's up the street is such a meat market. And it was kind of creepy because after like the sixth or seventh time I got this particular line from different people, I started thinking, that's really odd. And then I started thinking, wow, if this is not the meat market, maybe I should go up the street.
So you're saying that at closing time,
just be there. Just try it. That's it. Just be there.
Use kind of any pickup line you like.
Offer to buy her a drink at the last call.
If you are quite certain that all that you want to accomplish is to not go home alone,
you are not totally desperate.
I think that is clear that you are not a totally desperate person. You fundamentally are not saying to yourself, "I will go home with anyone."
Okay, I take one exception.
That comes along. Exactly.
I take some exception to that because I have picked up guys at bars just because I wanted sex that night. I don't necessarily consider myself as being desperate.
I would not say that. You have standards. But what I'm saying is fundamentally that if you're sitting around saying, I go home alone at night when the bars close, I am so sad, that you are still setting standards. And that's not a bad thing by any means. Setting standards is a very good thing, and you are clearly doing that.
I don't think either Jim or I is advising this as something everyone should do. I'm simply observing that it is a possibility.
Everybody listening to the station right now is okay. I still have a couple more minutes. We're
going to talk about relationships.
Mathematically, as long as there's an even number of people at the bar, a pairing is possible.
I think that you're already adding extra constraints that don't really need.
I think that you can get emotionally desperate as well, you know, wanting a relationship. We talked about that.
I've been there.
And that can scare people away. You can also get into this mode. I mean, Carrie, I sympathize with everything you said because I'm feeling it too. Have felt it too as well. That relationships, long-term relationships, gets to be this monumental thing that other people do.
Sure.
And what I was been trying to do by talking to people and writing this list is not so much that the list is that big a deal, but I'm trying to bring it down to a human dimension, down to something, you know, that I can conceive of.
Well, because of course, even though people might not necessarily write their list down, everybody has that list.
Oh yeah.
And everybody has like the definite absolute, these have to be their things.
Spades.
Well, you know, like has a job, you know, is not a criminal. And some of us are making gestures towards having breasts, which, you know, I could go either way on that one. I'm not that concerned, but sure, everybody has that list. And then there are the extra things, you know, the things that you want, but okay, if you meet that person who maybe qualifies for 75% of the list, you're not going to be picky. But
see, I mean, this is why I mean, everyone's nodding their head in agreement here, and I think that you're all actually quite wrong. And the reason is that, you know, whenever I encounter somebody who has a list, I have to laugh a little bit because I have to think these are the people who have not actually had a lot of real relationships because, you know.
And a relationship's about compromise, right?
Exactly.
Well, the other thing is when you meet somebody new, I mean, if I meet somebody and it becomes clear to me, say, the day after I've met them, they're evaluating me for a long-term relationship, I'm feeling rather creeped out because, you know, that's a little fast. And so fundamentally, if there's somebody who has a list in their head at the time that they meet me,
pilot.
Well, if they pull out any sort of electronic device and start asking me questions and checking items off, yeah. I would admit that that's a major turnoff in pretty much any sense of relationship.
I would say, though, that everybody is checking off things as they're meeting somebody that they're interested in.
That's certainly a mental thing. And one can even watch standard conversations. People go through checklists. They'll say, you know, first they'll make an introduction. Hi, what's your name? So on and so forth. Make some small talk.
What do you do?
Is always the next question. And I've watched conversations crash and burn on that question because one time I witnessed an one where I saw a face fall. It was the very first time in my life I ever understood what that expression meant, because I watched a man, he turned to a very attractive woman who he'd been having this conversation with, and he said, "So what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm a housewife and a single mother of two." And you could see and hear the crash, and he just turned his head away.
I don't understand why that's such an awful thing.
Sure.
Well, you know,
I certainly don't mean to make the judgment there. I was just merely relating the anecdote. It was very odd to watch, though, because it was clear there was a checklist. Career was a checklist item. Mm-hmm. She failed, and immediately she was a write-off. Cha-ching.
Well, no, I think that that's wrong, but I can certainly understand why, if you're really looking for somebody to have a relationship with, that you might hesitate for somebody who already has children, and you might not necessarily have any interest in even being around children, worth yet being in a relationship with somebody who does. I, however, think it's really rude to just turn away from somebody at a bar.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me.
So just to finish my point, I mean, the lesson I've learned from my current completely fabulous relationship is that all of the things that, I mean, virtually...
Good way to suck up to the relationship, by the way.
Virtually all of the things that I like about the relationship are things that I could not possibly have anticipated. And so I would easily have eliminated my partner because of this non-standard kind of, you know, job or, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of things that weren't matching my mental fantasy of who I expected to be with, and yet I'm, you know, deliriously happy. And so I think there's a lesson there, at least for me.
No,
I have to agree with that lesson as someone else in a relationship that's been going for quite some time. There were several major, if I'd made a checklist, you know, the moment before I met this person, there were major items which would be completely failed. And it's not even in the compromise sense. It's more the sense that the larger relationship was more important to me than this issue, which suddenly, you know, before would have seemed so major. And I'm talking major issues as having children was one of them. Before I met this person, I would have said that I did not want to be with anyone who had children. That would have completely creeped me out because I did not want any sort of connection, responsibility, or whatever. And yet this person has children, and I'm deliriously happy.
There's another thing I'd just like to observe, which is that people and relationships change over time. Mm-hmm. And so I think having a list is a good thing. I also think keeping it very firmly to yourself, and yourself does not include your potential partners, is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think talking about a list is bad for two reasons. One, because someone else might hear it and write you off, as Corey or I might do. And another is because by saying something out loud, you kind of commit yourself to it mentally a little more than you would if it's just in your head. If it's just in your head and, you know, okay, so you want a blonde and this person's a brunette, you know, if that's written down, you're a little more committed to that, whereas if it's just in your head, you say, oh, well, hell with it. But also, people change over time, you know, and so even if someone meets your list, you know, they may decide that they don't want to be a doctor after all, and they quit their job and become, God help them, a radio talk show host or something horrible like that.
One thing that appears to be constant, though, is that if you go into any relationship with the notion that you can change someone, you're screwing up.
That's bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's real bad.
How do you build a relationship that handles the fact that people change?
Well, look, okay, we only have a couple minutes here. Let me say
something in my defense here. I mean, go ahead.
I just want to say, from my perspective, flexibility. All right. We all have an instinctive sense of I'm having a good time or this sucks. And I think if you follow that instinct, you know, that's going to do you well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the main reason I pulled out this list, which is not really entirely my own, is to, you know, get this talk show going. And believe me, that nobody that I am anywhere even remotely interested in would I admit to them that I have any sort of a list or that I'm even looking for someone. That's the kiss of death. It says so in my dating book. Never let them know you're looking.
In fact, make up a boyfriend. That'll help.
Be sure not to give them an autographed copy of your dating book.
Of course flexibility matters. Of course there are some of things in the must column that you just have to blow off if you meet someone you like. It's just, but you also have to learn to look for danger signs, mm-hmm. you know, in a person, and just run the other way when you see that kind of person. Like, you know, I know someone, a friend in a different state, Minnesota, who had two abusive relationships in a row, and was trying to choose between two boyfriends, and she picked the one who teased her a lot. Guess what? You know, it turned out to be abusive again. So keeping some kind of a list in your upper mind isn't a bad idea.
On that note, I'm gonna have to close the show. We're out of time, and it's been a fantastic experience for me, and I hope for all of you listening. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you for listening, and good night.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 4th Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.